that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
You don't know me. I'm not just one of your many toys.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Sisters rebel against their impending arranged marriages and run away together with their upset fiancés in hot pursuit. That's the premise of Big Love, a contemporary tragic comedy that opens next Thursday at Butte College. Today we talk with the director and with several members of the energetic cast. On today's program, we also talk with three actors who comprise the entire cast of The Faith Healer, a production at Chico's Blue Room Theater. Just the way you look tonight. It's a play by Irish author Brian Friel, and it's an intriguing drama mystery about a man with unpredictable powers to heal the lame and the deformed. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading tomorrow night, Scott Joss and the Sidemen. Joss and his band close out the Oak Song Society's current concert series with an evening of country music, western swing, and gypsy jazz. This concert, at Reading's Pilgrim Church, begins at 8 o'clock. The Orland Art Center opens the exhibit Impressive Impressionism, showing paintings by Rick Ingraham and Vince Walsh. Hours at the center are 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Chico's 1078 Gallery, in its latest exhibit, Alma Mutter, features works by 11 ceramic artists. You can see these earthy creations and meet the artists themselves at a reception tonight at the gallery, starting at 6 o'clock, just 3 hours from now. In its exhibit Confluence, Chico Art Center presents digital media art and design by students from Chico State and Butte College. You can go to a reception tonight at the center, where you can meet these young artists and marvel at their computer-assisted works of graphic design, animation, and robotics. That reception's tonight, starting at 5 o'clock. The Janet Turner Print Museum at Chico State presents the 22nd Annual Juried Student Print Exhibition and the 15th Annual Student Ink and Clay Show, featuring outstanding work in printmaking and ceramics. The museums open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. At CSU Chico's Laxon Auditorium, only 3 more performances of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. See this popular musical comedy satire tonight or tomorrow at 7:30, or catch the final show Sunday at 2. An innocent young man apprentices in a rougher business when Chico Theater Company presents the Gilbert and Sullivan classic, The Pirates of Penzance. Join these roguish buccaneers tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 2. Transport yourself to Chico's Blue Room Theater for Twilight Zone Live with 2 classic episodes, The Lonely and Nothing in the Dark. Enter the zone with this special limited run production, late night, tonight or tomorrow at 10:30, or see it Sunday afternoon at 2. Polish your dancing shoes, because tonight is the first concert in the park at Chico's Downtown Plaza. Come celebrate Cinco de Mayo with the Afro-Cuban sounds of the NorCal Latin Groove All-Stars, starting at 7 o'clock. The Paradise Performing Arts Center welcomes to the stage an icon of folk music, Art Garfunkel. His concert starts at 7:30. In Yuba City, the latest production by the acting company, Southern Hospitality. This laugh out loud farce plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. The Center for the Arts in Grass Valley hosts Tom Rigney and Flambeau. Fiddle virtuoso Rigney and his band lay down a scorching blend of Cajun, blues, and original Americana music starting at 8 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard was born on today's date. Life has its own hidden forces, he mused, which you can only discover by living.
I'm here at Butte College at their Black Box Theater. And next week, we have a production that's happening, and it's called Big Love. I'm going to start out with the director, Jesse Merz. So, Jesse, what's big about this show, and how is it about love?
Well, there's lots of big love. This is not based on the television show that used to be on HBO. That's an important thing to share. But what's big about it is that it's big and theatrical. You're going to be seeing all sorts of sets, props, costumes, lighting and sound, and all kinds of theatrical elements. The music is a lot of fun. A lot of the jokes are contained in the music. And it has some real love in it. It is about 50 sisters who are required to marry their 50 cousins as mandated by their father in the previous generation. Charles L. Mee, the writer, he adapted it from an old Aeschylus play called The Suppliants, which is the oldest existing Western play.
There's these 50 young Greek women. It's contemporary times, right? They have been betrothed, kind of arranged marriage to 50 of their cousins, and they just aren't having that. And so they decide to just skedaddle, get out of there.
Yeah, they steal their dad's boat, they commandeer it, and they find Italy. They're trying to escape the patriarchy, quite literally in this case, where they don't even get to choose who they get to love or spend their lives with. And our cast is doing a great job mining the themes and the jokes and this really beautiful writing that Charles Mee has provided for us.
It's all very contemporary. In fact, I heard that the author of the play encourages people to customize it to make it as specific to your location as possible.
That's correct. Charles Mee believes that instead of being a slave to doing exactly the words as written, Charles Mee comes from a different perspective. He believes that art is alive, art is constantly changing, people are stealing from each other all the time. So he says, go ahead, edit it, make it your own. And so we've created some updated jokes to try to reflect our current times.
And now we're going to go talk to some of the actors who are getting ready for opening night next week. I'm here with David Loparina, one of the actors in Big Love. So tell me about your character and your character's situation.
My character's name is Constantine. He is the eldest of 50 brothers, and he is coming to Italy to come retrieve his wife who ran away from him on their wedding day.
So is your character mad that his fiance ran away before the wedding?
Oh, he's furious. Yeah, he's probably the most angry out of them all, actually. He says he wants a traditional marriage with a traditional wife because that's the way it is. He's been waiting for it for years. So he feels betrayed, feels angry. He feels like he's being cheated out of something that belongs to him.
Now I have Chrishelle Burr. She plays, well, the wife of the character that we were just talking about. What's your character's name?
Her name is Theona. Theona is the eldest of the 50 sisters, and she absolutely hates the fact that she has to get married. She's definitely the biggest feminist out of all of them.
So are you able to rally the other would-be brides toward a feminist point of view that women have the right for their own lives and screw this arranged marriage stuff?
She definitely gets them on her side to a point, except maybe one of the sisters, but I'm not going to give that away for now.
It's a very wild play, it seems to me.
Yeah, definitely. One of the most fun things is the writer of the play gave us the freedom to change the script how we wanted to. So we've been able to put a lot of contemporary jokes, jokes that are happening right now. If something were to happen on the news, we would be able to write that in that night of the show if we wanted to.
Now we have Marcus Rutledge, another of the actors from Big Love.
I'm playing the character Nikos. Nikos comes across as the most sensitive of the brothers. He kind of serves the purpose of showing what actual love should look like, separate from his other brothers who aim to get married for selfish purposes.
Would you say this is a very physical play as far as the way it's staged?
Yeah, it's definitely a very physical play. There's certain moments where there's a ridiculous amount of movement to really show a point, to show inner conflict that characters may be having. But it also has plenty of quiet, sensitive moments where you are able to understand the characters deeper. It kind of mixes and matches both sides of the spectrum. Very physical in some moments, very personal in other moments. I think it's really hard to classify the play as just one genre. It would mostly fall under a tragicomedy. It is a very funny play, full of plenty of jokes, and there is, in a sense, a happy ending. But it also does deal with heavy issues. Every single character has a very deep meaning behind each of their actions.
Talk about how you're using this space in the Black Box Theater. You got quite a bit of space here. Just describe the set and how you and the rest of the cast interact with it.
Something that's unique about the set is there's lots of different levels. It takes place inside of a mansion in Italy. So we get to play with the use of stairs and the different levels, the different features of the mansion. Particularly, there is a bathtub on set, pretty unique to the show. But in terms of the actual theater, we are pretty close to the audience, so a lot of the action takes place, you know, very close up to them, especially those physical pieces. I think will have a very grand effect on them with it being so close and personal.
Now we have Tara Jones, who plays another of the would-be brides in Big Love.
I play Lydia, and she is sort of the middle ground for the other sisters. She is confused about love. She is happy about love. She doesn't really know where she stands. She's had her heart broken maybe a few times, so that could alter her feelings towards her future husband. The importance of the show to me is the contrast between the three girls. There's a leader, a follower, and the middle ground, like I said, who doesn't really know what to do. We symbolize and embody not just the other 50 of our sisters, but all the women in the world who are born into this generational machine of traditional marriage.
How do the themes of the play, do you think, relate to other people your age?
It's really fun to just throw in that piece of teenagery angst, I guess, to every character. To be able to put that youthful spin on it is really fun.
And now we turn to Tatum Hazelton, another of the would-not-be brides in Big Love.
My character's name is Olympia. Her situation is the same as all of her other sisters. She's running away from marriage. If it weren't for her sisters, I think you could question whether she would run away from the situation. I think she just has such a love for her sisters that she follows them.
Tatum, you're pretty young, but have you had friends already who have gotten married?
I have not had any friends who have gotten married, but my sister, who's pretty close to my age, has gotten married.
So how did you feel going to her wedding and thinking about this whole marriage thing when you probably aren't prepared to be married yourself?
For her, I was really excited, but like thinking of putting myself in that position, no way. I don't see that happening soon.
For you, Tatum, how does this play bring up issues that are relevant about whether or not young people should get married or whether they shouldn't get married?
Since it's an arranged marriage, I believe there's so much more wrong in this situation. And I think for each of the characters, you can see like whether or not they're ready to get married or this is something that their character is ready to take on in their life, which in my opinion is not the case for most of the characters.
We were talking with two of your sisters in the play, and one was stridently feminist, marriage no way, and the other one was wavery in between. Are you more pro-love and pro-marriage, perhaps, than some of the other sisters?
Yeah, Olympia in the show is very excited to have a relationship in her life, but she questions whether or not this is the one for her. Although she loves the idea of love so much, it's kind of a battle. She is boy crazy, I want to say. Like, she thinks she knows so much about men and sex and love. She's just really confused.
When the men show up and they're really trying to grab you, so there's a lot of chasing around, I imagine. Once everything gets going and all these men are chasing all these young women, what's the show like at that point?
It gets pretty crazy. You get to see what each of the characters are ready to yell about. And that's one of our big movement pieces, and it's really exciting.
What's it like for you being part of such a relatively large cast?
It is so fun. They're also great and so committed to what they're doing and have such a love for the art that they're doing. It's really great to see everyone work and be so involved.
The Butte College production, Big Love, is on stage next week, May 11th, 12th, and 13th at 7:30, and on the 14th at 2:30. It's playing at the Black Box Theater in the Arts Building on Butte's main campus. Tickets are available now online at buttedrama.com, or you can get your tickets at the door. A weathered vinyl record of Fred Astaire singing the classic song, The Way You Look Tonight. That record is an element of The Faith Healer, an intriguing drama mystery by Irish author Brian Friel that's currently on stage at Chico's Blue Room Theater. The character Frank Hardy is the faith healer, but is he a genuine miracle man, or a charlatan, or maybe a little bit of both? He has traveled through rural Scotland, Wales, and Ireland with his miracle show, and we find out about his experiences in monologues delivered by Hardy and by his wife and by his manager. Gradually, we discover the horrifying climactic events at the heart of the story. I visited the Blue Room and got to see the play. Following the performance, I talked with the three actors. Let's start with William Johnson, who plays the faith healer.
I have this strong feeling that your character is in a sort of limbo place, that everything is in past tense. Mm-hmm. You're kind of in a purgatory where you're having to justify things to yourself and convince this audience of judgmental people.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, without saying much more about it, I think that's right. I think Frank is justifying his life, defending his life. He's there to set the record straight. I think he feels that there have been a lot of misconceptions about him, and he's there to set the record straight and tell people what really is and what really happened from his point of view, and a lot of it is blarney. But then you hear from his wife, and you hear from his manager, and they talk about the same events, and they have different perspectives on it, and you do have to wonder, is Frank telling the truth? Are they telling the truth?
How did you walk the line between a showbiz-oriented person who's full of blarney and is putting on a show for people and someone who really on and off feels a true supernatural spiritual thing going on?
Well, that's the essence of the character. I mean, you've put your finger right on it, and that's what Frank tells everybody from the beginning. Frank would have been perfectly happy to have been just a plain, simple con man. He could have had a very fulfilling life, putting on a show and taking people's money and just being a good con. But the fact is that sometimes it actually worked. He actually does have this gift, but he can't control it. He can't summon it. He doesn't know when it happens. It's all just chance, and it consumes him to be a faith healer, because 9 times out of 10, he is just putting on a show. But sometimes it really happens. And when it really happens, that's almost worse than when it doesn't really happen. So the man is in agony. He's pretty much a shell. He's pretty much just completely ruined.
I'm here now with Teresa Hurley, another of the three actors who are doing the faith healer at the Blue Room. Describe your character, Teresa.
Well, Grace is the wife of Frank, the faith healer. For me, I relate to her from my own Irish Catholic perspective in her devotion. And I think that most Irish Catholic women are raised to be devoted people to whatever it is that they love and honor. Her devotion to her husband defines her.
So what does your character feel about finding herself in this traveling showbiz life when really in her heart she's a genuine person, I think?
She wants to feel that exaltation of the genuine connection to people, to spirit, to God, and that adventure that she has with Frank and with Teddy in discovering what that's like to actually feel like you might be walking with God.
Since you have an Irish background yourself, Teresa, talk about how the Irish spirit really creates realities through language. Language is so central to the Irish character.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I love Irish writers and poetry and art. What I love about it is its sense of deep spiritual authenticity with absurd humor. It's just magical the way that it blends that connection to what's deep and what's true with what's absurdly funny.
Well, your character has to embody a deep love and devotion and some anger, I think, and also deep sadness. So what's it like holding all those different things inside you for this performance?
Well, having grown up in an Irish alcoholic home and, you know, having been, you know, an Irish alcoholic myself and, you know, being in those relationships, that's the nature of it. There is pain, there is anger, there is resentment, and there is deep love and devotion. And all of that is true.
And we have here Jerry Miller. In a way, you're the comic relief, although you're very emotional as well. What's it like walking the line between that comic kind of persona and devastating emotion?
It's kind of fun because it's got a big arc. You know, he comes out full of energy and you think, oh, finally, something funny is going to happen. And then it's that misdirection where it sort of slides in the reality, the sort of the sad reality of that situation. It's fun to have that big of a swing, that big of an arc.
Do you like personifying that kind of British working class showbiz personality?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, that sad clown character that, you know, ever since I was a kid and Emmett Kelly, you know, it's attractive. Got a lot of push-pull to it.
What's your comment about being in a play that is all monologues? You only talk to the audience.
It's rewarding because of your relationship with the audience every night. You know, the audience is your acting buddy out there. That is fun and rewarding, but, you know, it's like... I wanted to do this so much to work with my friends and people that I really love. But, you know, we just sort of hang out backstage. We don't actually work together exactly.
Well, describe your character's relationship to the audience. You're talking to these people, but who are they? And what's your situation where you're talking to these people?
Well, you know, that was a big part of early on in the rehearsal. Each of us had to find our own reason for being there and for telling this story. And we all have very different reasons. In my case, Teddy has always been the roadie, the guy driving the van, the guy setting up, the guy doing the promotion. But he has a yearning to be in the spotlight. Since all this drama has happened, this is his chance for the attention and to come out there and be in the spotlight.
It seems like everything in the show, it's all past tense. So there's a sense that all these stories are talking about something that happened. And I don't really feel that there's a present.
There is a present in it, but I don't want to comment on it because the play is a mystery. And how it unfolds is part of that mystery, how the disjointed moments from each of the three monologues, the audience, it's up to them to put all that together. It's a mystery story, so I don't want to comment on too much of that.
The Faith Healer at the Blue Room Theater through the 13th.
Lovely, never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it, 'cause I love you just the way.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.